You know, instead of going to 19, I see my friend Jan is here, and I think maybe she's here for number 23. So maybe if it's all right with you, Emmett, we'll move you guys up so Jan doesn't have to sit around and drink our free coffee till 9:30. I can just go ahead and get her taken care of. If you don't mind, we'll move to number 23, Sioux Falls Outdoor Campus update with Emmett.
We're going to tag team this morning, Mr. Chair. We've got Rachel, as usual, joining me for a little update on the outdoor campus.
Thanks for the opportunity, Mr. Chair, members of the commission. Secretary Roebling provided a little update on what's happening at the outdoor campus, and really excited this past week with the event we held at the outdoor campus. And thanks to many of you who were able to attend and join in the celebration with us. It's a great time and great opportunity to highlight some of the things that have been done with the outdoor campus since it was first built and then opened the doors in 1997 here in Sioux Falls. It's been a great partnership with the city of Sioux Falls there in Sartomo Park. We have leased that space there from the city. We have I think another 49 years left on our lease. So we're excited and hopefully be able to redo that for another 50 years when it comes due. But very exciting opportunity to celebrate with the community itself, and the community has been so supportive of the campus activities and through their attendance, obviously, but also the support of all the donors who helped us build the place to start with, but then help us with various projects we've had ongoing at the campus to make improvements as well. And of course, with our latest plans, we have more assistance and thereby a great opportunity for me to introduce Jan Nicolay. Jan serves as the chair of our newly formed Friends of the Outdoor Campus Committee. And Jan has a long history with the outdoor campus. She championed the bill that brought us the outdoor campus in Sioux Falls. She had four or five legislators help with some arm twisting, as we say in Pier, across the street. And the rest is sort of history, but without Jan's assistance, I can tell you the project would not have gone forward. And we certainly have appreciated her being always a supporter, but more importantly, she's taken on a new role with the campus as the chairman of our friends group. We've got a great friends group that we put together this past year and a half. They've helped think to further inspire us and look at new ideas, ways that we can redesign our campus, things we can do to help create new programs, and they'll be there for us in an ongoing fashion. And I think that's something that's been missing from the outdoor campus for quite a number of years, was a guiding group who could provide input to us. And so we're excited to have a number of different citizens on that guiding group. I think we have a group of 10 or 11. I also want to mention Christina Kobe. Christina, of course, with our Parks and Wildlife Foundation. She's also a big part of that that group. She and Jan have both been very much in leadership roles and helping facilitate, of course, this event that occurred on Tuesday evening. But also, I think, in looking long-term at the funding needs for the addition that is in the plans and in the works for the campus. As you're aware, the Parks and Wildlife Foundation is committed to raise $3 million in our efforts to help fundraise for the campus and build an indoor archery range, a couple of new classrooms, a game cleaning and processing area, to redesign a cooking classroom where we can actually help people enjoy the fruits of their days in the field and to teach them how to cook and can and process game and fish. So we're just excited about that opportunity. I've asked Nick to put kind of a two-page document up on the board here, but just for some quick background information, you know, we've had over 500,000 participants in nearly 20,000 classes that have been taught at the outdoor campus since we opened the doors in 1997. just a great deal of community support, volunteers. You met one of the volunteers here yesterday at Good Earth. Craig also volunteers for us at the outdoor campus, and we've had just a wonderful group of volunteers, 1,200 in number, but they've offered over 100, almost 125,000 hours in service to our campus as well. So it's been a great community effort. As I said, the donors and the supporters, the city of Sioux Falls have been just absolutely the best partner we could have ever hoped for from day one. They joined in and helped us develop the campus, helped put in some of the infrastructure. They built the parking lots. And of course, they do maintain the grounds now and establish the trail system there. We had a local contractor by the name of Jim Sokup who asked if he could excavate a pond for us. Got a over 20 foot deep pond that he removed the gravel from and makes a great fishing pond and a great part of our campus as well. We have done some neat things with our habitats here in the last year or two as well, and it really improved the grasslands that are out there, kind of a showcase place out on the prairie. We conducted a burn, and again, in concert with the city of Sioux Falls, this time the fire department came out with almost 20 people and conducted a safe, controlled fire, prescribed fire within the city of Sioux Falls. So pretty neat opportunity for us there. And then our habitat staff have been working diligently over the past 3 years to try and, with the limited rainfall, to try and establish a pollinator plot of about 4 or 5 acres on the east side of the campus. So pretty exciting times for us. Again, thank our volunteers who serve on our Friends Committee and all their efforts to help us with the project. All totaled we do plan to, as I said, add on an indoor shooting range. This will allow us to hold archery and BB gun classes and other types of classes as well during the wintertime in a large space. We just don't have that capability today. We also look forward to creating an outdoor shooting range where we can hold additional archery classes. Today, you know, most of our bows that we utilize are lower power, low poundage bows, the Genesis bows. They work great for kids, but we do have lots and lots of folks in Sioux Falls who are avid archery hunters. And I can tell you the two or three ranges we have around the city are well used. And so the idea would be we create another range for people with the hunting bows to come and practice and to tune their bows. We would probably hold some events around those activities too, so they could bring their bow in, maybe have some representatives from the local archery shops there on hand to help them tune their bows and give them some ideas and things they can do to make them more accurate. So we're really excited about the opportunity to create this new space. Again, we're still in the process of raising the funds, but in addition to celebrating the anniversary the other night, it was a great opportunity to kick off a fundraising effort. So we're super excited to move forward. But again, Jan, thank you so much. Christina, thank you so much for being a part of our friends group. We certainly enjoyed that opportunity. I'm going to turn it over to David Parker, our director of the outdoor campus, and I've asked him to talk a little bit about the campus and the activities going on here this past year. We've had another great year at the campus, thanks in large part to the group of highly responsible and enthusiastic interns we hire. We hire 11 interns almost each year to help us deliver programming at the outdoor campus through the summer months. Not only creates a great opportunity for them to help us with the program delivery, but many of them are future employees of ours. In fact, two of our staff at the campus recently got hired as conservation officers. So a good pathway for them to join the department as we move forward. So with that, I'm gonna ask David to talk a little bit about programming and some of the other activities.
Chair Olson, commissioners, Secretary Roebling, thank you for the opportunity to come and just briefly talk to you about some of the exciting things happening at the campus. It's an honor to be able to sit here and just brag about my staff and all the good work they do. So I want to start out and just give you a few numbers of how programming has gone. And I do apologize, but these numbers are only up to date up to August 9th. So as of August 9th, we've had 10,000 participants this year in programs. And have held over 453 programs. And one of our goals as part of the wildlife division is to ensure that our programming fits into what we call one third, one third, one third. So one third hunting, one third fishing, and one third conservation and outdoor skills. And we're fairly consistently hitting those marks as well. Because we just got off the summer, we're a little heavy in the fishing department just because we try to keep our programming based on the seasons. But we've had a very successful summer and it's been a lot of fun. Along with that, we just finished up our turkey hunt season this last spring. We had 19 hunters were taken out, and we utilized crossbows in city limits. And then we also had some shotguns that we used outside of city limits. And of those 19, 16 folks were able to harvest a turkey and learn how to process it. And that was a lot of fun and got a lot of good feedback from folks. A lot of people enjoyed that program. A couple other highlights. We just held a program in conjunction with the Multicultural Center here in Sioux Falls, where we did a two-part fishing class, which the goal was to get folks of diversity out fishing. We partnered with Dakota Trout Unlimited, and they provided or purchased fishing license for folks who wanted those as kind of a way to provide an avenue for them to get outdoors. And see if they would enjoy that. So the two-part class was we started teaching them how to fish, and then the second class was teaching how to cook and clean those fish that they taught. Shout out to one of our conservation officers, Justin Harmon, who also came out and helped with that program. It turned out well, and a lot of good feedback from the public who enjoyed that class. We've also just finished wrapping up a project we've had called Fishing With Your Friends. That was through a grant with RBFF, which is Recreational Boating and Fishing Foundation. They provided funds for us to offer a three-part series class where we were able to give participants all the gear they would need to be able to do that fishing class and teach them how to fish, show them some of our urban fisheries here in Sioux Falls, and then give them the skills and some cookbooks to be able to learn how to cook those fish that they caught. We did hold that one also in Rapid City and Pierre, so it was a three-part class in three locations, which was a lot of fun. Along with that, we did finish up Teacher Academy, which was a program that we targeted directly at teachers. That was an opportunity to be able to get teachers the skills to be able to teach NASP, Hunt Safe, Fish SD, and Project Wild, the aquatic version. And we paired those classes together to be able to offer them graduate and undergraduate level credits if they were interested. And so we partnered with the University of South Dakota to be able to offer that program. And that was pretty successful too. Along with that, our interns, as I mentioned, we had 11 interns this summer and they did quite a bit of work. So they put on, we asked them to run programs that they were interested in along with the programs that we offer. So we had one who took them to Family Park, one of our urban fisheries here, and did a learn to catfish class, and they said they had a lot of success with that. One of our interns, Joe Salvati, held a class called Where Can I Hunt? And it was a class to teach people how to use our Atlas, how to use Onyx, how to use Google Maps to be able to know where you can go hunting. And anecdotally, one of the outcomes was that the participants mentioned their language went from if I go hunting to when I go hunting. So again, not necessarily a number, but it was kind of a cool way to see that change in their thought process. Going along with that, we have an exciting partnership coming up with the South Dakota 4-H Extension Office, where we're going to hold, we've got a contract position both in Sioux Falls and in Rapid City. We've traditionally had a school coordinator position that we've run through the Sioux Falls and Rapid City school districts. With COVID, that position kind of went away. So we've recently looked to see how can we bring that position back and bring it back in an affordable manner. So we've partnered with 4-H and we just finished up the interview process. And so now we're in the final vetting process. So those positions should get hired on in next month or less, which is really exciting because traditionally 1/5 of our programming has been school-based. So that'll be good to be able to continue that process. Along with that, traditionally, we only have around 6 interns at the campus in the school year and then 11 in the summer. But we just worked to get a deal where we're going to have 2 interns up in the Brookings area because that is such a large area for programming for us as well. So we're going to house them out of the Outdoor Adventure Center and partner with the Outdoor Adventure Center and the Dakota Nature Park to be able to offer hunting, fishing, conservation science programming up there. So again, to extend our reach in the area. And along with that, we've been working with some very generous donors to be able to create 2 goose decoy trailers that we're going to house, one at the campus and one in Brookings, that will run much like the ones out of Oahe downstream, where they're able to be checked out for free and utilized to be able to, again, continue to grow goose hunters and waterfowl hunters in the area. So shout out to those donors and the help that they provide for us. Along with that, as far as our volunteers go, to date, again, this is as of August, we have 87 volunteers providing over 2,902 hours. And I believe a while back I presented to you that we have a volunteer mentor program that we just started. When we started, we had 2 volunteer mentors, and now we have 6. And one of those is the wife of the volunteer mentor, and she's given hundreds of hours just helping look for good places to hunt turkeys. So those volunteer mentors by themselves have provided 606 of those hours to us. As Emmett mentioned, we did do a prescribed burn this year with the City of Sioux Falls, which was a wonderful opportunity to be able to showcase conservation in the habitat variety. So one thing that we've done with that as well, we posted signs around the campus where we burned to be able to talk about the importance of that. And then we just got printed yesterday some QR codes. So if you get a chance on our Game Fish and Parks education page, we did work with the City of Sioux Falls and a local videographer to create a video to explain the importance of prescribed burns in the area. So get a chance, a little short 3-minute video that talks about why that's important and why you should encourage burning in the area. Last thing that I have to mention is Kip Rounds with the Fisheries Department is working today to help us put in a show plot at the campus to show the importance of native species to our fisheries. And we're going to do the same thing where we do some videography and the importance of that and put a QR code out there as well. So again, everything we're doing, just trying to get that education out there. So again, thank you for the opportunity to speak. I really appreciate it.
Might have any questions, be happy to answer those for the commission.
Do you have any questions? Commissioner Risner.
Just a quick question. You had talked about the Fishing with Friends and the grant and the equipment that you were able to buy. Does that equipment stay then with the outdoor campus, or did the users get to take the equipment?
Through the chair?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so that equipment was specifically purchased to be able to give to those families so that they could continue it after the class. And with that grant, we did work in some surveys as well. So later on, I'll be able to provide some survey data on if there was any changes because of that equipment given.
Mr. Chairman, I might have missed it, but in your presentation, but do you put on safer hunt safety classes? I know in West River, a lot of areas, I've talked to people that it's a long ways to go and very few of them to take their kids to hunter safety classes. Are you involved with that too or not?
Through the chair?
Go ahead.
Yeah, so we do offer a variety of hunt safe classes. We actually have 2 staff, Steve Gaspar and Vince Weber, who put on quite a few. And I might have those numbers. I apologize. I don't have those numbers on hand, but they have worked to offer classes throughout the whole summer, the spring, and they have a few in the fall as well. We do help some. It's kind of going through a transition where we were with COVID mainly doing the field days to help out, and now we're transitioning to field days and in-person classes again. So yeah, those 2 folks have been very busy.
I might also interject, Mr. Chair. the number of students that we have in Sioux Falls is exceedingly high. And so our class size sometimes are up to 60 in an individual class. Steve and Vince have been long-term Hunt Safe instructors. And so we made a decision to actually hire them to help deliver and provide some consistency and availability to those classes. They're both kind of in their waning years of their careers. I think Steve's actually retired and Vince is headed there, but they've been a big part of our outdoor campus Hunt Safe programs now for probably over a dozen years. And they're great instructors. We do host the field days out at Crooks Gun Range and another partnership that we've been able to form with Crooks. They host us out there for those field days. And so we can actually incorporate those that take the course online in those field days, as well as the in-person classes as well. And it's great to, you know, post-COVID to be back offering those in-person classes again, because I think a lot of students, you know, just have difficulty learning, you know, online. And so to create that option again for them to be able to take those courses in person has really been, I think, a great benefit to us. I'm going to say up there about 3,000 students maybe in Sioux Falls that take Unsafe, something like that. So it's a big part of our program. And of course, we do have our conservation officers, local COs, who, like other places, play a big role in talking about regulations and the conservation and it's a great opportunity, of course, for those CEOs to meet and greet those young hunters and start to form that important relationship with them. Thank you.
Any other questions? You guys mentioned the 19 youth turkey tags and the opportunities that you had, and 16 of the 19 were successful. Maybe just expand just for a little bit about how those young hunters are selected and why we're shooting turkeys in the city limits.
Yeah, well, good. Be happy to, Mr. Chair. Thank you for the opportunity. We, again, another partnership with the city of Sioux Falls, a water treatment plant. They have some properties in and around Sioux Falls. And of course, we have an abundance of turkeys along the Big Sioux River. And in some cases, they're causing depredation problems in parts of the city. But we do have a unique opportunity, and the city and the department collaborated and had a number of conversations to enable us to get to the point where the city was okay with us using crossbow equipment within the city limits to be able to harvest those birds. And again, it creates a neat opportunity. As David said, we've utilized a number of hunter mentors, and in fact, did a video. I don't know if you've had a chance to see it, but the video is online on our department website, I believe. But it was just a super opportunity for us. I know Chairman Olson had a group up in Madison. We were able to accommodate a couple youth hunters from up there and got them the opportunity to come down and participate, because we had these hunts all set up. There's an application process. I don't know if they actually write an essay, but the applicants are sort of selected on their interest in hunting and why hunting is important to them. Many of them are first-time hunters. We oftentimes take them to the range, of course, to instill some good safety skills and also shooting skills. Picking up a crossbow is why I think it's maybe a lot easier than archer equipment. There's still some skill in being able to shoot a turkey with a crossbow, but it's a great partnership, and we look forward to continuing that. We have had ongoing other big game hunts within the city as well, where we harvest deer through our Hunting 101 program. But we also have identified several sites where we have deer management problems, especially down at the Adams Nature Area. And so a neighboring landowner there has been very accommodating to us through our programs and hosted dozens of hunts over the last 10 years down there. And in fact, he's so excited that he takes time out of his busy day, and he comes out and sometimes brings the kids cookies. He spends a great deal of time with our young people and older folks too. We don't just offer those programs to youth. They're offered to anybody that's looking to become a hunter. So hats off to our landowners that, you know, have depredation issues. And it's great to get that tie in as well so that our hunters, our young hunters, understand the importance of working with landowners. In fact, I think they actually teach them to approach the landowners and they have conversations and so forth. And so it's a good, another good partnership.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you. Thanks for the update. Appreciate it. Jan, appreciate you coming out today too. It's always good to see you.